Hey everyone, welcome to Recovery Rocks. This episode is sponsored by the folks at Sour Humanoid Vinegar.
And
when I say the folks, I mean my partner who just started this amazing vinegar brand. Sour Humanoid is designed for cooking, created by a New York City sommelier who got sober after working at Michelin-starred restaurants and curating award-winning wine lists. This vinegar is an excellent way to make any meal special with very little effort. Check out some of the easy recipes at sourhumanoid.com. And we've had Nick on an episode before. He's, you know, a fellow sober entrepreneur, and we're excited to have Sour Humanoid sponsor this episode.
It's an amazing story, and I will give a brief testimonial just because I don't cook, but I have sent Sour Humanoid gift packs as gifts over the holidays to a couple of my friends who are big cooks, and it got rave reviews. So user tested, customer tested, and all thumbs up.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Recovery Rocks. It's your girl, Tawny, with my bestie, McBestie.
Lisa, McLisa.
Lisa, McLisa. I love it. And we have a special guest today. We are joined by Talia Benick. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Tawny and Lisa. So excited to get to chat today.
Yes. So
we are,
Talia,
too.
We're going to read your official bio, but just real quick. Talia launched Crisp and Crude. It's a delicious drink. You all need to try it. Talia, can you let them know the discount code you have generously created for our listeners?
Yes, we have Recovery Rocks 15 if y'all want to try some botanical mocktails.
Yes. Awesome. All right. So Talia launched Crisp and Crude in Austin, Texas in 2020. After going alcohol-free to manage migraine pain, Talia realized how beneficial this change was to her quality of life, but she was consistently disappointed about being underserved for the better part of a decade. She spent 2 years building out 4 different flavors filled with relaxing ingredients and creating packaging that felt accessible and approachable, but still chill and fun. She is super passionate about offering alcohol-free beverages that still inspire calm sip by sip. Each flavor is full of mood-lifting botanical extracts from plants, fruits, and roots. There's also a line with hemp extract, aka CBD. Talia lives in Austin with her family, and she is very passionate about the alcohol-free movement, loves challenging bartenders, yes, to make an elevated mocktail when they don't have Crisp and Crude on the menu. Welcome, Talia.
Thank you. Quite the intro.
Yes. I think Crisp and Crude might be one of the, I mean, if you launched in 2020, it wasn't the first that I've tried, but it was one that really took me away because it was so different. It was so like the flavors, it had really complex flavor profiles. A lot of NA drinks are just like carbonated and sugary, you know, which is fine. Like, I definitely like those too. But this was like, there's really interesting flavors, and it's because of the botanical extracts. And one of my pandemic hobbies was getting into herbal medicine. So that I definitely like, just I love, love, love Crisp and Crude. So thank you for hanging out with us and
such a good compliment.
Tell us about maybe how you started with Crisp and Crude.
Yeah. So, you know, from the very beginning, I had, for years, tried to sort of cut out alcohol. As you said, I suffer from bad migraines, and alcohol is a big trigger for me. However, you know, in times like, it's particularly in social settings, I really didn't know what to do. Like, weighing the pros and cons of having a craft cocktail to feel part of the, you know, the party sometimes seemed worth it. And then, you know, like 30 minutes later, it was a really crappy decision. And I wish I hadn't taken 3 sips of it because I had a debilitating migraine. But at the time, I was like, okay, yeah, you know, feel like part of the party. And what I ended up doing is I started hosting a lot of dinner parties at my house where I could kind of control my controlling personality, control the setting. And so I would mix craft cocktails for my guests, and I would start mixing these craft non-alcoholic mocktails for myself, and got really into trying to flirt with the cocktails that I so enjoyed. For example, like a gin and tonic, our OG tonic is similar to that. And that's how it began. And I started playing with all of these different botanicals, Tawny, as you said, layering them, trying to create these complex flavors. And then when I started learning more and then playing around with hemp extract, and this is still just, you know, for a dinner party, very informal, I would start adding some CBD to these drinks, and everyone around the table would want at least one round of this, like, you know, non-alcoholic concoction that I had sort of made up in my cauldron over my kitchen stove. And that's where I realized, okay, if there's every single one who's interested in a non-alcoholic drink that can help them relax, there's got to be something here. Mm. And so that was how the idea of Crisp and Crude started.
And I have a nerdy sciencey question. So were you using CBD tincture? Was it like
oil-based? Yeah, I was initially using an oil-based mixture, which, you know, for us now in a shelf-stable, formal recipe, we no longer use, we use a water-soluble emulsion, which creates for a cleaner drink. But yes, absolutely, I was using just a CBD tincture that I would get at, you know, my local shop and play around with.
That is so cool. And I have to share with you my own Crisp and Crude story. So I first of all, I've incorporated CBD into my recovery for years now, at least 5 years. And I've been sober almost 19 years now. And the whole thing with NA drinks, which I totally love, support. It's an amazing world to me. But for me personally, I don't drink NA wine. I don't drink NA beer because it's too, holding the glass, tasting a similar taste, it's too triggering for me. Mm-hmm. Right. So that was just something that I never had, but I would order frequently when I went out, like a virgin mojito, because mojitos getting trendy and happened after I got sober. So I had never had a mojito, so it wasn't triggering. I was like, oh, this is delicious, right? And another thing that I never had when I was drinking, because it got popular after I was sober, was a Moscow Mule. Mm. And I would hear so many people talk about Moscow Mules and, you know, how delicious they were. You know, my friends who drank Moscow Mules. And then when Crisp and Crude came out with an NA Moscow Mule, I was like, and I love like a sort of tart kind of thing. I was like, I got to try that because this one could be for me because I fell in love with it. I subscribe. I get my, there's always Crisp and Crude Moscow Mule in my refrigerator. I share it with friends. I've turned other people onto it. And I think it's just, you know, Tawny and I talk a lot when we talk about NA drinks, which we do frequently, about, you know, again, like any sort of particular part of recovery, it's what you're comfortable with, right? And, you know, for me, when someone made me a margarita with NA tequila, I was like, oh, I can try this. I was so triggered. I couldn't even, and this was like, it was like, take this out of my hand, please. Mm-hmm. But all the different flavors, the idea of the alternatives that I love are the ones that remind me of nothing I drank. And now it is such that, you know, you've expanded so much of what's available that I think for a lot of people who say, you know, I would never drink in anything or whatever, it's too triggering. It's like, for me at least, when I found something that, you know, that was in it, you know, delicious and did not remind me of anything I previously, mm-hmm. you know, revisited on the way coming back up, it was a real gift. So thank you.
Oh, Lisa, that is such a high compliment. You know, for Crisp and Crude, part of our core values are to be approachable and accessible to the community. And, you know, I have loved ones who are in recovery. And so being mindful of the flavor profiles is something that is important to me when I am developing a formulation. And so, you know, for example, like that Mellow Mule, we add pineapple in it just to throw it off a little yes. bit, right? Or another example would be our OG tonic. We really lean more into those piney notes that are present in gin, but it's not like a full gin punch, I think. And so we try to be really mindful of sort of paying an homage to the flavor profiles of these drinks that are popular while still putting our own twist on it. And part of that is to have, you know, something that is unique on the market. But the other part that is important to our being approachable and accessible is to try to have a drink that is, you know, something that is not terribly triggering or activating.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That really, thank you for that. I really appreciate it. The other thing I should note is that we also have a non-hemp infused, non-CBD line, our botanical line
yes.
for those who, you know, are not interested in hemp. And that also is to make sure that we are accessible and inclusive.
That is so huge. I love that so much.
And, you know, I've been a fan since the OG days when it had yeah. a previous name. And I, you know, the OG Tonic was my favorite. And then Mellow Mule, I think, is a new favorite, the new batch that or the newer recipe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting. A lot of people ask me for non-alcoholic drink recommendations. And for the reason that Lisa just said, I always ask, are you like, how do you feel about non-alcoholic versions of something you've had before? Because that's either going to be a hell yes or a hell no. That's a very polarizing question. And there's no right or wrong. It's very personal. So like something that I love about Crisp and Crude is that like you're talking about, you're using these botanical extracts, acknowledging the flavor profiles. You know, you could even, we can even get really nerd out and start talking about the terpenes that go into these drinks. I was wondering, do you want to expand on that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. I can give like a quick and dirty example of what terpenes are. So it's a new
quick
word.
Quick and dirty. Thank you.
Yes. Right. My audience. So terpenes, it's a word that some might not be familiar with, but I promise you, you likely are familiar with what a terpene is. It may already be part of your, you know, your self-care rituals. So botanicals have these compounds called terpenes in them, and that is what gives them the fragrance that we associate oftentimes with feelings. So for example, lavender is my favorite example to use because a lot of people like lavender, they associate it with a calming vibe. And it is the terpenes, the botanical compounds in that lavender that are, you know, sending a message to your brain saying, hey, this is something that should relax me. And that's what we chose to use in our formulation. So for example, our Paloma Daydream has, of course, this beautiful grapefruit that's grown in Texas in the Rio Valley. So giving you those like bursts of citrus, which are terpenes, along with marigold extract, which I don't know if like you remember as a kid, sort of, you know, in a little garden, perhaps there might be these marigolds that have this sort of like zesty fragrance to them. And putting all of those different compounds, terpenes together, can create a vibe. And for that one, for the Paloma Daydream, it's euphoric and uplifting, hopefully, for you. And that's what we're trying to do with each flavor. Not only create something that is a unique taste, but also a sipping sensorial experience that can help you relax in different ways. So each flavor invites you to chill in a different way.
Would you say, would equating terpenes to aromatherapy be diminutive, or is that?
I don't think so. No, because, yeah. You know, in essential oils, it is the terpenes that are okay. doing that horsepower. So not at all.
Cool. How is yeah. it when you are introducing, you know, as an entrepreneur, a small business, what has it been like to you when you go to places that have not historically carried non-alcohol alternatives to, you know, get in the door? Because I yeah. know for a lot of what I would hear from other people before these options were available a lot and talking about when they were first coming out and saying, well, who's going to order that? Or why would I don't understand what's behind it. And it's like, it's an education process because it's actually in the bar or restaurant's interest to have me order a Crispin Crude instead of order a seltzer. Mm-hmm. Right. But still, it's so intuitive, and it always has been to Tawny and me. But I feel like in the market, it had to be a big challenge trying to educate people and see that, you know, what the demand would be like.
Yeah, that's a good question, Lisa. And I think it's a working answer. It's a working answer. You know, there are certain restaurants, bars, establishments that might not be ready for a non-alcoholic option. You might not have a cheerleader in that group. But what I can tell you is, at least in Austin, because we're based in Austin, based in Texas, and so for our sales efforts, still the majority of our boots on the ground, you know, knocking on doors sales efforts, which I think are the best anecdotes for your question, what we are seeing is, say you walk into a bar to do a tasting with the team, it's not unlikely that half of those bartenders are not drinking or are sober. And yes. so they see, it's usually those who are serving the drinks that see the value in it. When you get to the general manager, it can be a different story. And there yes. you have to share numbers, right? You have to get yeah. into the value of, okay, if X number of people are ordering, you know, sometimes it's just a club soda with lime, right? And right. It's not beneficial to the business. Then you create your value proposition there. And like, one of the nice things about an RTD is you have no labor costs.
Will you tell people what RTD is?
A ready to drink cocktail. So, you know, like the can, all somebody has to do on on a team at a restaurant or a bar is crack open the can. They don't have to create juices and pour things together, shake it. All of that takes money. It's the wages of the bartender or the barback. And so you have a labor cost built into the cocktail. Or mixed drink, and you have to be conscious of those, because if there are high labor costs associated with it, as well as expensive ingredients, which some NA spirits can be, then it becomes not economical for the business. And so there are benefits, you know, to being able to offer this can for these hospitality businesses that they totally get. Other areas where we've seen some great success, Lisa, are like in a mini bar program, having an option like Crispin Crude in a mini bar program. Right? Yeah. Being able to sort of tap into that relaxed state, that use occasion of where someone's looking to relax.
In a hotel?
In a hotel, yes.
Wow. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that. Are you guys when Nick and I were in Austin recently, we stayed at the Carpenter Hotel. I feel like they would really like Crispin Crude.
That's a great hotel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really cool. So it's I'm glad that you guys are talking about the restaurant aspect. You know, Nick was a restaurant manager. He no longer is, you know, now he has his vinegar business, but you know, he's also sober. And I had to convince him very early in our relationship. I was like, you have to get at least one non-alcoholic drink, just one. He's like, no way, people aren't going to pay for it. He's sober, you know, and he didn't see the value in it. And he listened to me and he put the Lagunitas hop water on the menu and just tried it out. And people loved it. It was like, and he was like, wow, people are really paying $8 for this. And I was like, yeah, Pete, you could probably charge 10. Like, people will pay for interesting non-alcoholic drink options.
Yeah, they don't really want your Arnold Palmer that's at the bottom of the menu.
No, or like, I mean, at least in New York, there are, I've seen in the last couple of years, a lot of restaurants have at least at least two or three, you know, like they call it like a zero proof menu or mocktails or NA drinks, spirit free. I've seen, and people are ordering them and they're charging, you know, $8, $10, sometimes $12. And like you're saying, it is in the restaurant's best interest. It's in the waiter's best interest. Then it's like, I'm either going to get a seltzer for $2 or I'll get this $12 seed lip drink, right. You know?
And also, businesses, I know I speak to law firms. That's most of what my work is. And I am always, what my message is that what we have to do, because one of the big imperatives in the legal profession right now is to de-emphasize alcohol in what is an alcohol-soaked profession, as many professions are. And I say, like, it's as simple as, you know, making it should just be normalizing the choice to not drink on any given night. And you can't do that if all you have is seltzer and Diet Coke and everybody sticks out like a sore thumb at the party. But there are all these cool things that other people will drink too. And, you know, I give them lists of, you know, including Crisp and Crude, of, you know, just have this at your party. And they have been, it's been more and more incorporated. And really, I at the end of last year, I was in San Francisco to speak to Google lawyers at Google. And they had me, and it was funny because I was the last speaker of the day and it was my talk about substance use in the profession. But then it was happy hour and they had done an entirely alcohol-free happy hour. They had it, you know, their offices are very cool and they have this whole area. But they were just like, we're doing an alcohol-free thing with all kinds of choices. And they have them in the office. Like, that's part of a lot of firms have all the free soda you can drink, you know, and the idea that, you know, there are, it's just a way to normalize the choice not to drink in a more accessible way, you know, across the board.
It's so true. And I think you can tie the two together, right? From the restaurant food and beverage industry, if you want to create a experience that is hospitable within the hospitality industry, right? Like, you know, Danny Meyer's whole thesis, then you must have drinks that are as equally complex and delicious that on your non-alcoholic menu. That's just a must.
Danny Meyer says this?
Well, I'm saying in Danny Meyer's thesis, right, of serving a guest right at their table, then they have to. If they really want to follow through on that thesis, you must have non-alcoholic options that are that can stand up to the alcohol options. And then Lisa, from your point, you know, if an HR department wants to create an inclusive and safe environment, then again, you must have options that are equal to the quality of the wine and beer you're serving or whatever you're serving, right? It's just, it's a must at this point, not a should.
And it's interesting because I've been in situations like we threw this big party at the firm I was at that I left when I moved to California in 2019. It was the firm's 100th anniversary and we were throwing a big party at the Rainbow Room in New York City. And, you know, we would always have like, you know, because they were dealing with me, like a mocktail offer some sort of alcohol-free concoction, but it was always at the bar, you know, in the back or with, and we were having like 300 people. And so we had the pomegranate margarita was the signature cocktail on the trays when people walked in, you know, with white wine and seltzer. But we also brought up to the front for that event the signature mocktail, which was a virgin mojito, because that's what I was drinking then. And they couldn't keep up with the, you know, mojitos flying. And the reason everybody always associates like fun equals alcohol, unless it's about alcohol or unless alcohol is a major theme, it's not a fun party, right? But what we learned that night, I had a client come up to me that night and say, I just have to tell you, I'm so glad, you know, that you guys had this at the door because, you know, I figured it's your 100th anniversary. I want to come. I'm gonna have a drink because I want to feel part of the celebration. But to be honest, it's Tuesday night. After this, I'm getting on a train to go do homework with my kid. I'd rather not drink tonight. So for you to have something right up front that makes it so easy, you know, to not drink and to be festive and to celebrate with you, you know, really was helpful.
Absolutely. And created an even stronger relationship between you and that client.
Yes. Yeah. It says a lot.
Options. Always. So Talia, before we transition into the music minute, can you tell our listeners about all of the different flavors of Crisp and Crude? Sure. Maybe say what each one's called and describe them a little bit.
Absolutely. Okay. So we first, I think I mentioned OG Tonic. That was the very first one that we created. That's the first one. Tawny and I connected right in the early days. That's the first one she tried. And that was because I really enjoyed a gin and tonic. So this is piney juniper, bright tonic, and then Persian lime, which is really beautiful. Think sort of like creative focus, zesty mood there. That's called OG Tonic. Then we have Mellow Mule, which is a tropical take on a Moscow Mule. So pineapple, muddled mint, super happy, relaxed, but you gotta like ginger for this one. There is a big ginger punch. So Lisa, I'm assuming now that you're a big ginger fan.
Love ginger, yes.
I love this after dinner. I think it's great for the tummy. And that one is Mellow Mule. Next, Paloma Daydream, grapefruit, charred oak. So it does give sort of that like mezcal or tequila vibe a bit. And then things like marigold extract. We also have a little dash of salt. So I think it's beautiful. Which really balances the drink out, but it's also great for the summer. Kind of hydrates you like a healthy Gatorade. And that's Paloma Daydream. Last but not least is Gold Fashioned, which is a very bold drink. It flirts with sort of like an Old Fashioned and a Gold Rush. So aged oak barrel, bitter orange, we use Valencia and Canada orange in there, and then dandelion root. And that's very rich, lush, sort of like I kind of think it's sort of a sexy vibe to it. And that's Gold Fashioned. The one we make all of those with hemp, and then we have three options without hemp: the Mellow Mule, the Gold Fashion, and the Paloma.
Amazing. And Lisa and I are huge fans of all of them.
Yes.
We love these drinks, and you can order online. Talia, remind them of the discount code.
Recovery Rocks 15.
Awesome.
And it'll be in the show notes. It's in the show notes as well.
Definitely.
So you can click a link and go right there.
Love that. So, okay, Talia, are there any songs that you listen to maybe while you're in your cauldron coming up with, while you're brewing your CBT? Anything like that?
I don't know about that in my cauldron.
Cauldron jams? Do you have a playlist? Don't you have playlists?
We do. That's a good point. We have playlists for each flavor. So if you crack open a can, you can turn on a playlist, and we think they sort of, you know, give that vibe that the botanical terpenes are helping you feel.
Yes, terpenes.
I have a cute story from last week that I can share. I have a almost 4-year-old daughter, and we listen to a lot of Beyonce. And she started listening to the live homecoming show, and Formation came on, and she saw like a little visual of Beyonce holding, you know, sort of the scepter. Mm-hmm. And she's like, "Mom, oh my goodness, what, like, who is she?" She knows who Beyonce is, but not, she mostly listens to the music. She hasn't seen a ton of video. And I said, "That's Beyonce. She looks kind of like a queen with the scepter." And she goes, "No, she is a warrior."
Oh, oh wow.
I'm like, "Yes, yes, she is a queen and a warrior." So we've been listening to a lot of Beyonce recently.
I love that so much. What is your daughter's name?
Towns. Towns.
Towns.
Like, mm-hmm. Like Towns Van Zandt.
Yeah. Very cool.
So cool.
And I have on my laptop, I have, you know, you sent me a bunch of Crisp and Crude stickers. I have the Terpene Queen sticker on the, I was like, how can I show her this? But it's literally on the front of my laptop. I can text you later. But yeah, so check out Crisp and Crude, check out the discount code, and we're going to include links to those. Are those playlists on Spotify?
They are.
Mm-hmm. Can you send those to me and then we can put them on the notes?
Cool. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and just remind listeners where to follow Crisp and Crude online and the name of the website.
Absolutely. So our website is crispandcrude.com. Again, Recovery Rocks 15 if you wanted to get down on the promo. And then if you're on socials, give us a follow. We're Drink Crisp and Crude. We are the majority of our action is on Instagram and TikTok, where I think at this point we're the most liked, I have my like quotation marks, the most liked adult NA a beverage. So
wow,
Gen Z is liking what we're putting down over there. It's very quirky, silly content on there. And then Instagram has beautiful recipes and things like that you can get into over there too.
Wow, you are so hip, being a little TikTok queen warrior, a TikTok warrior.
thank you to the social team. I can't take credit.
I mean, that's, you know, to bring all of this back to recovery, like Lisa and I always say, it really is the power of we. You can't do any of this on your own. You can't run a business on your own, especially a CPG, consumer packaged goods business on your own. So thank you so much for hanging out with us today, Talia.
Thank you.
Thank you, Talia.
Yeah, thank you both for being such loyal and supportive fans of Crisp and Crude and friends to me. Thank you.
Absolutely. And thank you for listening. And, you know, if you try Crisp and Crude, let us know. Let us know what you think of the flavors. Until next week.
Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. You can find my blog, sobrietyparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar, and it is available at bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.